Vibe
Machine.
Hi, I'm Josh Kiff, and welcome to the second of our two-part series with Tavon Sampson, inspirational creative director for a couple of small record labels you might have heard of, Def Jam and Warner Brothers, and the genius behind iconic album artwork for Kevin Gates, Nas, Young Jeezy, which you can hear on the first episode of this series, which if you haven't checked out, please do, because it tells you all about Tavon's early life, his upbringing, how he got his start at Def Jam, and a whole lot more. But right now, we're going to jump into episode 2, and we start with yet another enormously iconic album in the hip-hop world, Fabolous's Losso's Way.
Vibe
Machine.
Yeah, obviously a play on the movie Khalida's Way. He actually had created a documentary, hadn't he, or a movie to go with this concept. The interior shots are so cinematic, and you know, you've captured so much of it. I was really curious how that all came about, because it just looks like it would have been all consuming for him and for you.
Man, so he's another, like, one of my favorites too. He was actually the first photo shoot I've ever directed. And Fab is a great guy, but this project in particular was so, like, fun to do. And the reason why, like, I love this project so much is because at the time, we had this crew, and we were running a branding and image consultant company called By Any Means. Shout out to Aristotle, who's an amazing filmmaker. At the time, he was just really getting into the film. He was directing videos and stuff and doing a lot of stuff with Fabolous too. And so everybody, then we had this photographer named Ty Chen. And like we had like this whole like family of like creatives that we were working together on like other stuff. And we just so happened to be working on this project at the same time. And now Aristotle was working with these, Filetti was working with BB, this directing duo called BB Gun at the time. And they were designing, shooting the Losso's Way film. And I was designing a package. And so Ty was shooting the stills on the set and then sending them to me. And I was using them for the inside of the album package. Because I was like, yo, let's make everything look together like the same. Like we wanted to have everything be the same. And I love Ty, man. Like Ty's work was great. And so that's why everything just looked so cohesive. And it was really like, it was really just me and my friends doing this entire project. And I don't think anybody actually even knew that except us. And we just got a great project out of it. And it was the first time I actually showed an artist an album cover and an album package. And it got approved with not one change. It was just like, that's it. That's good right there. I like it just like that. I think he was actually playing the album for us. And I brought it in when we was there and I showed it to him. He was like, yeah, this is it. I love this.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. Wow. But that was probably that was a great project, man. It was so fun to do that. Just to be able to work with your friends on like a big project is just amazing. Yeah. And to do the entire thing was just great. So that was fun.
And I love that you seem to capture the best of things when, you know, time constraints, but you also, when the artist is doing something else, whether they're doing a photo shoot and you just, you know, or a video shoot, and you just get that back shot of Nas, or in this case, they're actually doing a movie and you're getting the stills and you're making it all at the same time. It does bring that cohesiveness together. And for someone like him, you know, it's a huge step up from nothing to something, and to go and do this whole huge project. It was incredible. And I guess it leads to, and I'm jumping very quickly because there's so much to talk about, but the next person I wanted to talk about was someone that you've done huge designs for, and that's Rick Ross.
Oh, I'm gonna show you how to get right.
You've done Deeper Than Rap, Teflon Don, God Forgives I Don't, and Hood Billionaire. What's he like to work with? He seems like, and I guess it's because he's a big dude, he seems like someone who's got that, you know, he knows what he wants, and he's very determined in his personality. Is that how he is off screen?
Here's the thing. I mean, exactly how you see him on TV is pretty much how he is in person. Great, amazing guy to work with. Like, super easy to work with. I know, like, he's one of those guys, like, he never stops. Like, when we did the Teflon Don photo shoot, we shot till about 3 o'clock the next morning. And
wow.
It was just like, yo, let's go get this. Yo, let's go get this shot. Let's get this shot. And he was just always with it. Like, I mean, it was one point in time I was so tired during the shoot. I'm like, man, how is he still going? And and it was crazy because at that time, I had, I had just got out the hospital when that happened. And so, because I feel like that was all around the same time. And I just got out the wow. hospital and I flew down to Miami. And it was, I flew down there on my, I was down there on my birthday, actually. And he was there and I was just like, I was exhausted. You know, I just got out the hospital and I'm shooting this 16-hour day. You know, it was just like so crazy. But we were getting he's so easy to shoot. Like, he's so photogenic. Every shot we got was just so amazing. Like, I really love that. Like, that project, when I listen to the music from that project, I think about the entire photo shoot and how the day went. And just, like, I feel like the visuals really, like, captured how that album sounds. And I'm really, 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 like, proud of that. Because I didn't even hear the music at the time of me designing it. You know, I probably heard like a couple songs, but, and that's actually that's probably my favorite Rick Ross album is Teflon Don. And I love how the cover is so like simple. He really wanted to do like some, the cover actually was like, he wanted to do, he sent me a whole bunch of like Isaac Hayes references and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I like where this is going. I love where this is going. So so that's why the cover is like, it's super tight, super clean. The type is small. I put the, you know, Photoshop the skyline of Miami in his shades, and it's like little details and stuff, and just kept it super clean. And over the years, I like it more and more every time I look at it, because it feels like the album. Like, it feels like the album to me, and it just really feels super on brand with that. And I love working with Rick Ross, though. His projects always come fast. As soon as it comes, like, we started and we're done in like 3 weeks. Like, it goes super fast. Yeah.
Because he doesn't they're play so though. Detailed. No.
Yeah.
they're so detailed. And Hood Billionaire, I mean, if anyone hasn't seen that album cover, it's iconic. It's, you know, it's got a very close up photo of Rick, and then a lot of his gold chains and you know, badges with Dream written on it, etc. How was that another one where he had the idea for this, or was it one where the photo shoot happened and it naturally happened?
This actually was like, this project I wasn't that connected to, because I was out here in Los Angeles and they needed a cover, and Def Jam literally just, I wasn't working at Def Jam at the time, and they just sent me this cover. Oh, they sent me this picture. This is a picture of him, and it was like, what can you do to this? What can you do to this to make it an album cover? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't think there really needs to be anything done. And what I end up doing was just like messing with the color. Because if I remember, it's a red version and a blue version.
Yeah, blue version. Yes.
Yeah. So, and then I just was like, I made everything like blue, and except his gold chains, and it just really, really popped out. And I was like, oh, man, this is like a piece. I would like hang this on my wall. And then they had to do a deluxe version, and I just changed it to the red version. And it just came out just like that. Like, that was something I just did like in a couple hours. And they sent me the photo, and I was just like, but I love the photo. So I was like, if there's a great photo, I don't want to really do too much to it. I was like, but I look at the photo, like, what do I love about the photo? And I loved the fact that it was his chains, and it just had this super boss attitude that, like, you look at that and you feel like you can hear his voice. You know, saying, saying, you know, you don't really got it like this or something like that. So I wanted to accent his chains. So I just made everything else just one solid, you know, this like dual tone colors, and just let that just shine on its own. So it just pop off.
It does pop, and it's incredible. And all of his album covers have a different statement, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, God Forgives, I Don't, you know, I'm looking at your website now, and then your Instagram, and you've got there's one shot which is sort of the classic iconic shot, and then you've got another one, which is the one in the chapel as well. So both of those are just recognizably him as soon as you see it. And, you know, once again, just extends his persona, which is all you can hope for in an album cover, is that you can grab what the artist is about. And I wanted to jump from sort of the rap and hip hop world to something else that I noticed. You worked on the Carry On 12-inch single for Avenged Sevenfold. Completely against type for you. That's more my world. I love all album covers, but that's more, you know, that sort of punk to rock thing is my world. So and that's part of the Black Ops game. How did that project come about? I'm really curious because it's really against type.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I definitely don't limit myself to anything. And that's one thing, you know, is I've always wanted to do like some pop and rock projects, because you kind of get to flex a little bit more creatively on that. And I was at Warner Brothers at the time, working with Frank and Norman and Donnie and everybody. And they asked me if I wanted to, you know, design this. I think I was working on the album package. And I was working on the album package, and they just really gave me the project. And I was just working on the album package. I didn't do like any photo shoots or anything for it. They just gave it to me, and I just was like, oh, okay, this is gonna be kind of cool. And just really just try to do something that people wouldn't normally like expect from me, but still look like I did it at the same time. And that's just pretty much how that came about. That was a fun one though. Like it's crazy because like people that know me know me close and personal don't know that type of world. So like they don't even talk about that because they don't really know about it as much. So when you bringing it up, I'm like, wow, like you really dug deep. Cause I wasn't even thinking about that one. Like, yeah, that's crazy, man. Like that just made me smile.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But you've done quite a few that I didn't expect. And I guess it is being at Warner Brothers, and you get to have that wider palette of artists. But you also worked on a Gary Clark Jr. release, Bright Lights, with Frank, if I believe.
So Frank, you know, he handled the whole thing. I did. I worked on some poster art and stuff like that with him. Stuff like that. Like Gary, like I love Gary's image, and I love Frank Maddox's work, and his photography.
Oh, he's incredible.
So amazing. I love it. Every time I would see his shots, I would just go into his office like, hey, Frank, I love this. Like I would take a photo that Frank did. Like I have a photo that I drew of Gary Clark Jr. from like a shot that Frank took. And I love Frank's photography. And so anything that Frank needed like help with Gary Clark Jr., I'm like, if you take the photo, I'm doing it. Like I'm cool with that. And it was just like one of those things. I did like a lot of like little stuff for Gary Clark Jr., but I enjoyed everything with that. I just thought that was awesome.
And how good a guy is Frank? For those who don't know, I've done an episode with Frank Maddox. Please check it out. A lot of people talk about him because he is so willing to collaborate, and Donnie Phillips especially gives him high praise. But they've both done they've got these amazing careers, and they've done these incredible things. And I guess it does lead. One thing I am curious about is how did you move from Def Jam to Warner Brothers? How did that change happen?
So the same girl, Sherry Bryant, put me on the Nas project. She ended up working with Warner and Atlantic. So at the time, Atlantic and Warner were working really close together, and they were pretty much one company, like Island Def Jam. And, you know, they brought me in. I was working for Warner Brothers. And she brought me in because she was just like, she wanted a designer that was just pretty much familiar with what she liked. And another girl also, Ashauna Ayers, who also worked at Def Jam with me too, was also working over there. And they both were pulling so many strings to get me into Warner and Atlantic. So I was doing a lot of freelance for them, and I was doing so much work for them. because it was a big shift of people that just moved over to Atlantic, and they're just like, hey man, we want to get you over here, would you want to work in the office? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I think I was like freelancing for like 2 years at the time, and I left Def Jam in 2009, and then I ended up moving to LA in 2012, and they were really like, yo, we want to make this happen, we really want to make this happen. And I really needed it. I was so broke when I moved to LA. Like, it was bad. And then I got the phone call from Frank. So that was the first time I talked to Frank. And, you know, Frank was just like, hey, man, you know, I've heard good things about you. He was like, how do you feel about working in the office? And, you know, we discussed, like, you know, what I would get paid and stuff like that. And I remember he says, you know, when would you like to start? I was like, I can be there in an hour. And he was just like, well, I was thinking like next Monday you could probably start. But I love the ambition. And, oh man, like that place, man, like that building, they have a super, super cool building now. That's literally like 5 minutes away from where I live. But the Burbank building had like this ski lodge vibe to it. It was a big wooden building out in Burbank. Sweet. And they would do these summer sessions on summer Fridays where every Friday one of the artists would perform, would have a half day, and they would have like drinks and food, and you get to watch the artist perform. You get to go home a little early, you know, if your work was done, of course. And it was so amazing. I was like, man, like I had this great office, and like the back of my desk, it was just all windows, and I could see out to where the patio was, where the artists would perform at, stuff like that. It was
awesome.
Such an amazing experience. So yeah, shout out to Sherry again, and also Ashauna. They definitely helped me jump from Def Jam to the Warner and Atlantic family, and that has been pretty amazing to them. But yeah, that's how I got there. Just always networking and connections.
It's great to hear. It's great to hear. And another artist that I've interviewed for this series hasn't come out yet, but is Lawrence Azzerard, and he talks about how his wife works at Warner Brothers and has been there forever. And I'm like, now I understand why she never wants to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
But look, we should jump to some of the other artists that you've mentioned previously. When one's Jason Derulo, who once again you worked with Frank and I think Donnie on the Tattoos album cover, which is incredible.
You know the words in my
songs. No, yeah. So was really keen to hear about what working with Jason Derulo's like, if it's more in-house thing or if he gets heavily involved, and you know what the package is like to put together.
I've seen him come in there a few times. The Tattoo album was actually interesting. Like that project was, so we were like, Donnie had, he did an amazing job on that cover. And, Donnie's also like, I don't know how many people know this, but he's actually an amazing painter and an amazing illustrator. And I didn't really realize it until that project. And he sent it, and I was like, Donnie, who did this? He said, me. And I'm like, what? And I was like, man, like, this is great. And after he left Warner, I seen a lot, and now I know I'm just talking about Donnie now instead of Jason Derulo, but I really admire Donnie's work. And I saw like a painting that he did, and I was just like, man, I was like, every time he drops something, I was just like, man, like, you're amazing. But yeah, you know, I worked with him on the inside of the packaging, and it was pretty much, I just used all his illustrations and just would kind of just lay everything out and we do kind of singles with the illustrations. Like, I know how to take people's stuff and like reconfigure it and make it look cool and repurpose it for something else. So it was a lot of me doing that. But then there was a single called Talk Dirty, right? Talk Dirty came out, and I did the single cover for it. And the single cover was literally a crop of him, like his chest and his abs. And it was like this girl's hand.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I definitely like did some Photoshop magic to accent his abs. And because, yeah, I think he was like just starting to work out. Like, he's jacked now. But back then, like, he was just starting to get there. And everybody loved it so much that they end up, because it wasn't that far. Like, the Talk Dirty, the album, and Tattoos came out pretty close together. And so they end up re-releasing it, I guess, the whole project, and then rebranding it and titling it Talk Dirty. And they used the direction from the single cover that I did as the as the album cover for Talk Dirty. If you look at Talk Dirty, the album cover, you'll see it's the same concept. And since Donnie was already working on it, you know, he, you know, it was just like, yo, Donnie, just do something like this. And he pretty much, you know, recreated that. And they did a photo shoot around that. And yeah, and that's how the Talk Dirty album cover came out.
Wow.
But Jason Derulo was cool. I've met him a few times, like randomly. I met him at the office and, you know, in Burbank. And then one time, extremely random, like I'm from Syracuse, New York, and I was back home visiting and I was going into a bar and Jason Derulo is walking into the bar in Syracuse, New York at the same exact time that I am.
What?
And I was like, and I'm looking, I'm just like, what is the odds of this hat? Like, why? Like, why are you like, that's so many questions. And I was talking to him, I was like, yeah, man, I was like, he only met me one time before then. So I was explaining to him, like, the stuff that I had worked on him with. And he was like, yo, like, what are you, he asked me, what am I doing here? I was like, well, I'm from here. This is my home city. And I guess, yeah, we had this New York State Fair, and I guess he was performing there. So that's why he was in town. But it was, yeah, but it was so random that he would just come to, like, a regular bar like that. But it was super cool. Like, he was super cool, though. Like, I ain't have no issues. Like, he was a great person.
Oh, so, and once again, the album and the single artworks are amazing. And I guess it leads into another amazing bit of artwork, and I don't want to take up your whole life, but I did want to ask you about Kevin Ross.
Damn your perfection.
I hadn't heard of until I'd started doing research on you. And
oh, man.
You did the album cover for The Awakening, which is amazing. And it's, for those who haven't seen it, I'm sure a lot of people have, but it's a photo of Kevin and sort of replicated, his face replicated, and then red smoke clouds coming up.
Yeah.
And then repeated through the artwork. It looks amazing. It's How did that come about? Yeah, it's some incredible coloring.
He's first of all, he's like an amazing singer, songwriter, like super talented individual. I was at the time I was really into like my painting and painting. I use a lot of reds and blues, and like we're discussing between me, him, and this guy Ezekiel Lewis, who was his A&R at the time. And we were discussing all of these concepts about the awakening and, you know, like wanted to feel like he was, I don't know, like just like he was waking up, you know, so like it kind of looks foggy, you know, hence the clouds. And, you know, you wake up, it's kind of hazy, and then it's like now everything comes into focus type of deal. It's like the other images are kind of blurry and like faded out. And then there is one that's kind of just in focus. And so that's what we were trying to accomplish with it. And I just naturally went to the reds and the blues because I just love that color combination, and I use it a lot in my art. And so I just kind of wanted to include it at the time. But Kevin, I had did a couple things with him before then, and I ran into him at an event that I was live painting at, and we were talking about it, and he was like, man, I got some ideas, I wanted to run past you. And you know, and then he would just really just hit me directly on a lot of stuff. And then we just end up, you know, establishing that relationship with each other. So, but yeah, that's how that one came about. It was super fun to work on. Like it was, he's so great, man. Nice person. Super pleasant to work with. Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of the people you work with, they're so nice, but they're so driven about what they have so many great ideas as well about, you know, who they are. You know, they've got their own unique identities and they know how to showcase them, which I guess makes your job a lot easier as well. When you've got someone with a big personality, you can pull that or use that to your advantage. But look, I am pretty much, I think I've run through everything I wanted to talk about. Are there any album covers and stories that I've missed? I feel like we've covered so many.
I have one in particular that I do want to talk about, and
go
I'm
for it,
gonna
please.
Miss a few. Actually, I have two. One is really quick, and then the other one is a little bit more longer. I'll start with the quick one, and it was the Jada Kiss, The Last Kiss. And so this project, No, Jadakiss was this. He's part of this group called The Lox, and that's also like a group I've been listening to since I was a kid. So being able to work on this project was like amazing. Like, oh, you know, I'm getting to meet all of like my idols and stuff that I listened to growing up. And so I remember working on this photo shoot. And my first time meeting him in person, and he is hilarious. Like, hilarious. Like, as soon as I got on set, I had a nickname. He gave me a nickname. Because I guess I looked like one of his friends from Yonkers, whatever. And he just kept calling me Rockstar. And I was like, who is Rockstar? Like, and he was like, oh, he's talking to you because you look like his boy Rockstar. And, you know, and we just hanging out. And then he's just like this jokester. But he jokes around, like, and I, like, you don't know, like, sometimes I didn't know he was joking. I'm like, yo, is he really, like, mad? Like, is this, going on? And then he'll just let it keep going on. He'd be like, no, I'm just messing with you, man. Everything's cool. And I'm like, wow. But I remember we were leaving this shoot. He said, man, you said you listened to me growing up. He's like, so you got to put your, I want you to design this. Like you designing something for your mother. And I was just like, all right, I don't know what that means, but cool. And then, you know, I got the album cover. I really was referencing, like, I designed it so it was kind of, he was the eye in Kiss.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. It was like playing, like, the symbol is like, I am the last Kiss. I am the eye in the Kiss type of deal. I am Kiss. And I really wanted it to be super clean. I loved it. And I was like, oh, this is going to look great on everything. Billboards, posters, buses, everything. And I remember showing it to him, and he was just like, man, I would have never thought that what we shot was going to come out like that. He's like, that is so crazy. Yeah. Like, he loved it. It was great. Oh, and I remember he was looking at it now. Awesome. Yeah. He was on
it is awesome.
He was on a bus. He was on a bus with a couple other people I worked with. He was on a tour bus. And remember he gave me a shout out and told me that I made him look beautiful. And it was just so great, man. Like, just being able to work with him. But jumping into the next one was Rick Ross, Deeper Than Rap. I'll never forget this project, man. It was the first time I ever went to Miami, and it was pouring rain like the entire time I was there. It was like a monsoon, except the day of the shoot. It was crazy. I lost my cell phone. I had to go buy a new one when I got there. It was pouring rain. It was around like Super Bowl. Like, I watched the Super Bowl in my hotel room by myself on a small TV. And I remember just like wanting to make him, because everybody at the office wanted something completely different from what I wanted. And so up until then, like, Rick Ross was pretty much like the D-boy and, you know, black t-shirts. I think he wore like a black suit on this cover before this on Trilla. And you know, I was like, if this is called Deeper Than Rap, I was like, it just really sounds like some mafia stuff. I really wanted to make him look like the Black Godfather. And everybody was like, no, let's put him in like some mink coats and like he leveling up and doing this and that. And I was like, nah, man. I want him to look like the Black Godfather. Like, I was very adamant about it. And we got the stylist. His stylist is actually the stylist. His name is Groovy Lou. He's the one that used to style the Notorious Big back in the day too. And I was like, oh, right. This is perfect. Like,
yeah.
And I remember telling him what I wanted, and he was like, oh, I got something for you. And next time I seen Groovy, I actually shot, he actually styled Jadakiss too. So we knew each other by this point. And he's showing me like all the samples of fabric and stuff like this. Like, yeah, we can do this and put it on top of this. I was like, oh, you like really for real do this. And we got, Yeah, and we shooting all of these shots. It was so great. Shout out to Jonathan Mania again. And we shot this. Actually, it was raining that day. It was raining. So when we shot that album cover for Deep in a Rap, it's raining. We're holding an umbrella over his head while we shoot this shot. And he has this jacket on. And like below the suit jacket, he has on like basketball shorts. So it's like he's not even in a full suit. Like, he's just like, let's throw this on before we leave. And then we shoot it, and I'm just like, oh, this is the album cover. This is the album cover right here. And we got it, and that's one of those ones where I had that feeling. And at the time, we're shooting film, so, like, this wasn't even digital. And
wow.
Manuel would shoot – he would shoot Polaroids, too. He would always shoot Polaroids so we would see, like, what it would look like right away before we got the film back. And I just remember seeing that shot, and I was like, yeah, we're definitely using this shot for the cover. And that was another one that I just got it, and – didn't put any type on it. Like, you'll find, like, of course, sales have to have versions where there's type on it. But the actual covered Essence stores didn't have any type on it. I think it was like in the spine or something like that.
It's one of my favorite things is when you have an album cover where you don't need typography. You don't need a title.
Yeah.
Because the person's face or the image is just so iconic that, you know, it's the, and started with like Abbey Road with the Beatles, with like John Koch. He, you know, he did that and he got reprimanded by the record label screaming at him, telling him he's ruined the Beatles because no one's going to buy this record. And he, you know, him and the Beatles were like, fucking Beatles. You
know?
Like if you don't know who the Beatles are by now, and if you're in that world, you don't know who Rick Ross is, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to see the image and you're going to know what it is. But look, thank you so much for your time. I do finish every episode with two questions. And
okay.
I don't tell people beforehand. Everyone rouse at me, but I sort of like to throw it out there. And the first question is there any album out there or that you love the album cover so much or you love the album so much that you wish you had created the album cover for?
Oh man, there's so many.
Whether that's you create a different album cover that you would have liked, or that you look at the album cover and you go, "Oh man, I wish I'd done that one."
There's a few. One that I can think of off the top of my head, which is funny because the creative director at Atlantic that I report to is the guy that actually did this cover. You know, he actually did this cover, and it's the blueprint. And it's the Blueprint 3 for Jay-Z.
Yes.
And not that I wish that I did it. I wish that I was a part of that process. Because when I first bought the album, I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I just love it. So clean. And just these three red stripes. And I was like, it's so simplistic. I was like, you know, it's easy to do. And then I saw the making of the cover. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, this wasn't Photoshopped at all. This was painted this way. Like, it was actually instruments put together. Instruments was all painted white, and there were these red stripes strategically painted on the instruments, so you had to stand at a certain angle to get those three stripes to line up like that. And I'm like, my mind was blown. I was just like, wow, I wish I could have just been there. It was that one. That cover was just like, it feels like an art piece. Like, I feel like it could be in a museum, you know? And it has to, like, that installation has to be somewhere, you know? Like, I don't feel like you just do that for an album cover and then take it down. Like, it has to be somewhere. Yeah, yeah. it's too amazing. And anybody
listening, it's got to be in a warehouse.
I would definitely suggest, like, looking up the making of the Blueprint 3 album cover. Like, that was amazing.
I most definitely will now that you said that. And great album cover. Great album cover. It's actually the first album, Jay-Z album, that my wife bought. And my wife would play it nonstop, going, you got to listen to this.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is very, very cool. Very, very cool. And the last question is, are there any, and I know you're going to have some great answers here, are there any artists living or have passed that you would love to design an album cover for?
Yeah, there's a few. So in the past that have passed on, I would say definitely Tupac and Biggie would have been great. Because I've worked with all like top hip hop legends, and those are the only two that I feel like I haven't gotten to. And I can't get to them now. And the other one, and I don't even need to do an album cover for, I want to, I just want to meet them, is Styles P. The third member of the Lox. Well, not that he's number three, but he's like the only one I haven't actually met yet. But he's actually one of my favorite artists. And
awesome.
Kanye West. I would love to work with Kanye West.
Yeah. Yes. And we've got a whole bunch of people that have worked with Kanye through this series. And he is, you talk about a few people ringing you at 4 a.m. in the morning. Apparently Kanye will ring you at 4 a.m. on Christmas Day.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, his mind does not stop. He's sort of got that Prince sort of work ethic where it's just like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Work and life are just the same thing to me. And but apparently he works very, very last minute as well, which I feel you and he would get along like a house on fire.
Yeah, because, yeah, yeah.
Because that's how you operate a lot of time, or you're forced to operate.
Right, yeah, it is. I'm forced to operate that way, but I don't really prefer it. But I know, like, it's in the end, it's always something amazing. So I always just say, you know what? Here's another one.
Here's another one. So, bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Thank you so much for your time, Tavon. I've loved this chat. I've loved going through all your artwork. It's been incredible, and thank you for sharing so much about your career.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Vibe Machine.